Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 6th of September. Joining us this morning, old man McCauley, huh?
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah.
Always good. Any day you get up, it's a good day.
Yeah. I'm sure somewhere during the show that reference will come to light and why we have fun
every
year,
September.
Every September, yeah. Yeah. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
We may
as well pile on, huh?
I am as ready as I'm going to be.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
This isn't a food category for you. Okay. Why do we... Oh, I've
I'm
already
a fairly done. Competent eater.
You are, huh?
Yeah. The other parts of it are a mystery to me.
Okay. Why do we say cook one's goose?
Boy. I don't know. I have no idea why... I mean, I guess maybe we raise our own goose. I don't know, and then you cook it instead of cooking somebody else's goose. No longer has one. How's that?
You're right. No clue.
Yeah. I told you. I mean, you're setting me up for failure. Yeah. So
just like the old days.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm here to oblige.
Yeah, yeah. Playing out my role. That's all. A familiar old story centers on a marvelous goose that laid a golden egg every day. Greedy owners killed the bird for the sake of the egg still in the pouch of the goose. For downright stupidity, few actions rank with the notion of killing the goose that laid the golden egg. That fable may have led some people, hoping to defeat another, to threaten to cook their goose. A more commonplace explanation makes more sense, however. For centuries, see, you had two chances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got this one.
Okay.
This one's going to be right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
For centuries, geese, rather than chickens, dominated the barnyard and were prized at Christmas and other times of feasting. When a householder was down to a single bird, he would be out of luck when that one was gone. A rival threatening total defeat might express his intention by saying, "Old fellow, you've had it. I'm going to cook your goose."
Mm. Okay, my goose was cooked.
Yep, yep, yeah. And nothing left over for the gravy either, huh?
I don't know.
You guys do giblets?
We don't usually cook the bird.
Raw?
We don't usually, when there's bird events, we're usually not the people who are cooking it. I mean, I do, and I haven't done it for years, but I can fry a bird. Let me put it that way. I can do up to a 20-pound bird in my fryer, and so I use peanut oil. It's really cool. I mean, you get it up 350 degrees or whatever it is, and then you just drop that bird in there, and it goes immediately just and holds all the juices in, and it really works well because I inject it with garlic butter before I do that. So.
Well, I think I would probably have garlic in the oil also.
I don't know.
We'd have garlic all over the place, yeah.
You just got to be careful of that peanut oil at 350 degrees. You really want to be. You don't want to do that.
You don't want to stand too close.
Yeah, you want to do that in the right place, that's for sure.
Yeah,
And be careful and make sure you keep animals and kids and stuff away.
Anything that might be seared
that you don't want to. And if you can avoid doing it on your deck, that's usually probably a fairly good thing, too.
Oh, experience is rearing its head.
Well, actually, you know what you use is engine oil degreaser.
Yeah,
you can use that on your concrete if you get a little.
Oil. Oh, okay.
So I do have systems because I do make a mess.
At least you make notes also.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
so how's that?
Are we done? Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know if it's a golden goose or not, but this forgiveness of the education loans. Interesting, I guess, is the initial thought. Do you guys have any idea at this point what that means or what it doesn't mean?
Well, yeah, we do, and we're getting more information all the time. As the case with most tax laws, you get the news reports, and then you get the early analysis, and then ultimately you get kind of the deep dive analysis where you're able to look and see what really is going to happen. Clearly, the administration has set up a program to forgive student loan indebtedness up to certain thresholds for certain people in certain income strata. So that you know, I think we kind of have an idea what that's going to look like. But, you know, you're also hearing other things about maybe more forgiveness for people in education. And so I would, because this was not legislation, this is, I think it's going to change a bit before we, I think, I could see where this one might evolve as time goes on, as, the administration looks at it and maybe thinks, this maybe needs to be slightly different than that. You have a little more flexibility with that rather than needing corrective legislation later when you're doing it by administrative fiat. And so,
is there a question about the legality of it? I mean, that was one of the things that
depends
the Speaker of the House was talking about earlier, that presidents can't do this. So is there even a question that this thing is going to stick, or is it pretty much there?
I am not a constitutional scholar. It does, look, it's politics. There's an election coming. Anyway, it's what we do. It's what happens. And so, this is just this could have been done a long time ago, but we're doing it, but it's being done now. Why? Well, because they just thought of it? Don't think so. Because there's an election coming? Quite likely. And so, maybe I'm an equal opportunity political critic. I find problems all over. But it's clearly, it's to motivate a segment of people to vote this go round. And so you can look at that and that's fine. And look, I know people who have struggled with under the burden of student debt. I understand that's, on the other hand, I know people who struggled under the burden of student debt and took care of it and paid it. Anyway, so you're picking winners and losers, and that's an interesting thing.
So I guess if it's in, then we can start making some kind of allowances that there will be either some relief or some element of it that will survive.
I believe so.
And that's what we'll talk about when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. What are you, hassling Hansel now?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to. I get toasted while I'm out here.
She's just ignoring you. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense if you are close with paying off the education loans to complete it? The forgiveness thing, I could see a boomerang down the road that would either be a ding on your credit, or it could rear its head somewhere down the road. On the other side, you could see that it was forgiven and that's it and nobody cares and it's over.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that people are going to have to make that judgment call in terms of what their concerns are about, the unknown. I mean, that's the whole thing when we do any of this stuff, is that it's hard to always see what the long-term consequences are of this. There's also some interesting issues depending on which state you're in as to whether the forgiveness would be potentially taxable for the state. And so,
California indicating?
We're working on all that. So, yeah, that's all out there. So, anyway.
Well, let's say if it's a non-education, it's just a debt forgiveness. And let's use a $50,000 because that's kind of a neat, easy round figure.
You're saying we credit cards or something? That
whatever it is, canceled. And it's forgiven.
Yep.
Okay. There is a tax impact.
That's taxable income.
Associated with that. Yeah. So what would so that's just treated as regular income?
This portion will be federally tax exempt. And then it will be determined on a state-by-state basis whether or not it's taxable or tax exempt for the particular states. And I haven't looked that closely at it, so I don't really know which is going to land, because actually I'm working on extension returns for last year right now. So really, I'm looking at this going, I'm going to have to get more, I'm going to have to spend more time with this as time goes on. But, And I've been working on tax returns that are due on the 15th of this month, and that's the final deadline. So it's not like we can
horse, the final.
Yeah, we can't horse around anymore, folks. We got to get these things done. So I mean, we got to get so we're we got our clients getting
what percentage of folks extend out that far? Any idea
that
of,
far?
Of
I don't know what the numbers are. I mean, we
2-3%, 5%.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm thinking about in terms of for me, it's maybe 1.5-2%.
Most times is it?
Well, I mean, I have extension returns. You know, I had 5% of them extended or whatever.
Right.
But I've got 3.5% done. I got a 1.5% to go or whatever the number is.
Is that a strategy or is that trying to chase down information so that you aren't able to file it?
Time? I love multi-part questions. Yes.
Yeah. I try to give you two choices there to be able to play with.
That's nice.
Never mind.
Yeah. You don't like one word answers?
So why would someone be still owing?
So keep in mind that with tax returns that there is an opportunity for an extension. All of them pretty much will allow an extended period of time. Most of them, for federal purposes, require filing a form in order to get an extension. So as an example, if you're an individual return, you're going to file Form 4868 on or before the due date in April, which is theoretically April 15th, but because of Patriots Day, it tends to get pushed back to the 17th or 18th each year. And so that extension buys people time to file until October 15th.
Oh, so it's a 6-month, 5-month, whatever math says.
Go ahead, take your shoe off.
Yeah. Oh, it's 6.
Yeah. Yeah. You go from 4 to 10.
Yeah.
4:15 to 10:15. How? 10 minus 4. Hold it.
Yeah.
I do have to take my shoes off. So that is an audit. And why do people do it? They do it for varying reasons. Sometimes people do it because they just don't have their stuff. They're invested in partnerships and LLCs or things that, or they have a K-1 coming from a trust because a family member's passed. They're waiting for information and they can't file because they don't have enough information to accurately estimate what those numbers would be. So then they say, okay, well, we go on extension. And then when the extension, and of course, some people do it because we encourage them to, because it's just too much work. We don't have time. They came in on April 1st, and we don't have time in the 15 days to get that tax return done. We tell them, look, we're going to have to move this thing out. We just don't have enough time. And so we'll get them an extension. A lot of those, some of those people were able to turn around and start working on promptly thereafter and get those returns out. And then other people,
So you don't have to wait until the end to do it. You can file
anytime in that window. Yeah, anytime in that window. So as an example, somebody might, we might be waiting for one piece of information and, it comes in on the 20th of April. Well, we just finished the return and we get it out. On the other hand, you get people who are waiting for information because they don't have it, or they're having to catch up some records and aren't maybe ready to get ready for prime time yet, or they procrastinate, or they just prefer to file late. I mean, there's any number of reasons why somebody might want to file later in the season.
And there's no reason you have to use to justify?
You don't have to. You do not have to provide a reason. You just have to request the time. However, the tax is due at April 15th for an individual, or April 18th, whatever the date is going to be this coming year. So that mid-April date is when the tax is due. And if the tax, if when you go and file your return, you find out I'm short, well, then when you're short, that tax is, you could get a penalty and owe some interest on the remaining tax that's due.
Yeah. Bringing out the nostalgic.
Yeah, that's nice. Here. Yeah, that's a classic weapon. the sponge reminder.
Yes, the Nerf ball
has crossed the desk.
Rears its ugly. Well, it doesn't have a head, does it?
Yeah, it might just be. It might be Wilson.
Yeah. Jeez. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep
forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. What?
Nothing. I'm just thinking about our side conversation on the break about interesting driving.
Yeah. I wonder how many crashes there were on Labor Day weekend this year.
There were
a lot of folks out. We which went kind of cool.
We went up to Oregon on Friday, and there was a little sports car that was passing on double yellows in front of us. And
it wasn't like a Maserati or a Lamborghini
It wasn't one of those.
Oh, okay.
It was just a little
small car.
Yeah. It might have been a little Mazda or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, and that thing was, you know, on 101 going north, passing on double yellows in limited visibility areas, and you just think, do you realize that somebody else is going the other direction?
Yeah,
it's remarkable.
You must be on fire because there's no logical explanation.
On the other hand, you know, maybe I don't know their situation. Maybe they're trying to get to the hospital. I mean, I'm not, you know, that's the charitable assessment, but it just looked like somebody being a
dork.
Yeah.
How's that for overly, a 70s word, huh?
Overly aggressive.
You dork?
Yeah. Yeah, dork.
Oh, that was probably an acronym for something that we're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, the last little bit, like yesterday, the astute governor of California decided that $22 an hour is what flipping hamburgers is worth if you're in a large ownership of fast food places.
Apparently,
is that as mind-boggling as it appears?
Apparently, we either want to decrease the number of people who work there through automation, or we want to increase the price of fast food products to the point where there's a shakeout and some of those businesses go out, or we all just pay more. Anyway, at some point,
that would be supporting inflation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, labor unions and employee protections have some proud moments in this country. Not every moment, however, has been a proud moment with labor.
Sure, or with anything.
And you know, I mean, it gave him something to do around the Labor Day holiday, and you know, so. Anyway,
$22 an hour.
Yeah, and you know, what does that do to everything else? And you know, I sit on the board of a nonprofit organization, and we have some people who do an essential function, but it's high school students that do it because it doesn't require a lot of training and background, but it's an essential one, and they do a great job with it. But when you start going, you got to do that. And then you start looking up the line, you realize you can only take prices up so far for what this nonprofit does and what it provides in the community. And so what about everybody else who works there who's actually trained? You end up not being able to bump those wages, and you're bumping people on the bottom. But because your revenue is constrained, you can't keep going, or you end up saying, well, we can't continue to provide this service in the community. So
labor is a budget item. You know, if it's one person or if it's 1,000 people, it's still the same number.
Yeah. Well,
oftentimes.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's I do think. Some of us might think that should have been better thought out. But look, it's all political. I mean, the governor's running for president. He says he's not, but he's a liar in that regard. I mean, you don't start running campaign ads in Florida if you don't have national aspirations. So why lie about it? I don't know, but I think they all lie about it. Probably the Florida governor said he doesn't have national aspirations either, and we think probably he does too. I don't know. It's just because Mr. Newsom is the California governor, and I'm, you know,
can't pay a little bit
I'm
more
subject to his his leadership, if you will. And so anyway, it's interesting. And so you just, but I mean, this is what we get, right? We've told our politicians we kind of prefer that you lie to us. Rather than tell us the truth, because if we tell you the truth, you're going to hammer us. So we're going to just
wedge
spin
in,
it, and we'll, you know, and ultimately, you know, I hate to think that's what we deserve, but I wonder, because that's what we're getting from politicians on both sides of the aisle, is this partial truth, shading it, you know, and it's feels like they should be public servants.
Jack Nicholson
not
line?
Yeah.
You can't handle the truth?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I should have. Man, this is, I think, 2 months in a row, I just kind of went off the rails.
Old man disease.
Yeah, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
You'll see. Your day's coming, my friend.
Yeah. Monday I'll start losing it even more.
Yeah. Anyway, so, I don't know.
With some of the stuff that has happened this calendar year, Bill, with the some of the government largesse for businesses, mm-hmm. some of the enticements, the inducements, is it going to be a normal tax year for those that have received any of these, whether they're business owners or employees or retirees, or is there going to be any semblance of what we have come to expect and anticipate, or is this kind of like the wild, wild west one more time?
Well, I think some things are probably be sort of static. I mean, I think certain areas are going to be sort of static. I mean, this new student loan forgiveness is going to affect a lot of taxpayers, and then they're going to have to figure out. And thankfully, my listening partner texted me and reminded me that California, for California purposes, student loan forgiveness is likely to be taxable unless there's an insolvency issue. So,
That guy. Yeah. We got two listeners today.
We do.
Woo.
We do. So the point being, yeah, there's going to be some changes. There's going to be things that are different. But I don't think you're going to see a major tax law going through before the election. Now, what happens post-election? I guess it depends on the results. You know,
that's really the wild card, isn't it? Those 7 weeks, 8 weeks?
Yeah, I think if you said, well, if the Democrats strengthen their hold on both the House and the Senate, I guess maybe they might see something. So, you know, depends what we all think's going to happen, which we don't know. You know,
clarity by Thanksgiving let's say Groundhog's Day.
What's the over-under on this one? Groundhog's Day.
All right. KINS, News and Information Time. Enjoy your sausage, huh?
Yeah.
It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Well, I know. Well, what? You said that we had a Beach Boy in the lobby.
What?
So I just kind of wanted to double check. It's the wrong, yeah.
Wrong Brian Wilson.
Another fake out on me. I guess maybe I am starting to show my age, huh? Gullibility still is there.
Yeah. Well, hey. Yeah. As you get older, it'll get worse.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. That's what
statistically.
That's what Dad kept saying, too.
Statistically. I mean, maybe not.
Yeah. You might be. Anyway. Oh, geez. So what are you seeing out there for the next little bit, other than this big question mark, quagmire swamp thing called election? Is there anything, you know, with the economy and the inflation rates and some of these other things that are kicking around? Is there thoughts, insights, inspiration perhaps?
Well, I mean, the inflation is real. The price increase, whether or not inflation starts to moderate the fact that the inflation rate doesn't go up doesn't mean you have zero inflation. It does mean that maybe it's starting to peak. We're still, you know, at nearly 10% inflation rate. And
today's factory.
And, yeah, based on bad numbers, right? Stuff's underweighted that should be weighted more heavily. And so you look and say, okay, well, the inflation, you know, you lose 10% of your purchasing power for a year or two.
That's a big chunk.
That's colossal.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, that's a problem. And so I do think that Do you think that the powers that be recognize that, you know, runaway inflation is potentially disastrous and very difficult to come back from? And so,
well, the Fed certainly seems to be willing to jump into that pool and make a splash.
Yeah, but you have people back there who didn't even think it was a problem a year ago, when everybody else is going, "Are you crazy?"
Yeah. Like,
anyway,
yeah.
So yeah, that's disappointing, because really
gas prices are better.
We could see this a year ago coming hard.
Oh yeah,
and yet you had people in decision making roles denying that it's an issue.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, because that made it worse. Because we didn't take steps. But and some of the steps we're taking don't make a lot of intuitive sense to me, in terms of if you're looking at rising prices, you know, there are things that you can do to decrease rising prices. But I mean, if you say, hey, we're going to fight inflation by giving people a $10,000 tax credit to buy a plug-in car, and the manufacturers immediately increase the price by $10,000, you haven't done anything except.
And we have brownouts.
Don't plug it in.
Yeah.
But I just think we're doing all this backwards. We're trying to say we're going to solve the problem before we deal with how to solve the problem, and that makes sense to me.
Or the roots.
Yeah, and you need anyway. So there's some really interesting things that are going on. I do think inflation's going to be a problem. I'm hopeful maybe by the end of the year we'll start to see it. Easing off a bit, but it's still.
We're going to see that with Social Security and some of those other things that are tied or. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have COLAs this year that are going to be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, if you're a Social Security recipient and that's your primary source of income, boy, you need a bump.
Yeah.
Because, you know, unless you don't drive and don't eat.
Then you're probably not receiving it anymore.
Yeah. Just a thought.
Compensation, the gas compensation, it was what, 53, 58 cents a mile, something like that. Mm-hmm. When does that get adjusted? Is that the end of the year?
It actually got adjusted at mid-year this year, and I don't remember what it went up to, but it was.
Buck and a half.
Yeah. So this is, and actually, from my end, I kind of don't like it, because when my clients come in and I say, how many business miles did you have last year? Well, the mileage rate changed, mid-year. So then I say, well, was that about ratable throughout the year? Because most of my clients they're better at telling me my total business miles were X,
right?
Than they are telling me my business miles each month, and at June 30 it accumulated to this total, and then from July 1 to the end of the year. Actually, that's the number we need this year, is the business mileage.
July 1 was the break.
Was the magic date. It went up a bit. Didn't go up as much as I thought it would.
Better to kind of guess now, at least get half of the second half right.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised it didn't go up more.
Yeah. Well, but it still went up, and I'm sure there'll be all kinds of ratcheting and adjusting associated with that also.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I don't even want to talk about the FCC funds going up, or fees.
What?
Yeah, only 8%.
Only 8?
Yeah, they wanted 13.
Very affordable. Yeah. Well, it's less. It's right.
Apparently, you've been looking at somebody else's returns.
Well, Brian, that's less than the rate of inflation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I get a software company. It's like, oh, your software cost is going to go up 24% next year. 24%. You know, and they know you. They know they have you, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're over a barrel. You know, otherwise you're going to spend a bunch of money and time to get out and make a change. So, anyway. Tough times.
Yeah, yeah.
Not easy to be in business right now.
Well, it's easy though to tell who the predators are in the vendor arena and those that are really true partners.
That's true.
And I suppose that's the legacy of times like this, is you know really where your buddies are and where they aren't. Yeah. All righty, well, you didn't burn the house down last week with all the candles, so that's a good thing.
No, I didn't. I didn't. And you did that. You make sure the fire suppression system is working before you do yours.
Yeah, get the hose running.
we used to go through the same discussion, and we were like 40.
Yeah, how frightening. See everybody tomorrow.